بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and a very warm welcome to this week's live edition of Revival in Motion. It is another Thursday afternoon and a chance for us to connect on the airwaves of Radio Islam and together, inshallah, go back into our back to the basics series and look at the inner believers. So we want to remind ourselves of the basics and ensure that we're applying these basics, whether it be the seerah, whether it be du'a, whether it be our preparation for Ramadan, that this is all part of our lives and that it becomes part of the life cycle and lifestyle that we have as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us consistency. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be of those who are constantly working to strengthen their faith, to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who reach the month of Ramadan. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We do know the countdown has very much so begun, less than 100 days left to the month of Ramadan. A warm welcome to Revival in Motion, a program where we go back to the basics of Islam, we review it, we put our reminders and learning challenges for ourselves. I'd love to know, have you begun your spiritual preparation for this Ramadan? And if so, how have you begun that preparation? Drop us an email to hana@radioislamlive.com. But to begin today's program, inshallah, we're going to look at our inspiration, something to reflect upon. And I want to start off with a quote that reminds us so much about our own growth. It's by the author Harley King, who said, "Knowing when and how to change course is important to success. Self-doubt is a lighthouse that will keep you from running aground. Don't become shipwrecked on the rocks of time. Be willing to rethink your decisions and change course." Now, I invite you to join me today in our introduction segment here, where we're going to explore communication patterns. And our first segment is generally where we look at something to uplift us, to improve ourselves. How often do you find yourself struggling with negative thinking? How often do you find yourself, facing a very harsh inner critic that gets you entangled in a web of anxiety, guilt, or even conflict? Today, I'd like you to introduce you to the Fabulous Fours. Now, negative thinking can have serious consequences on our emotional health, and it can also impact on our relationship dynamics. It's something that affects us all, and I'll be the first to admit it gets me down too. Now, to untangle ourselves from healthy thought, we begin by asking ourselves four defining questions. And here they are. So whenever you find yourself stuck with a thought that to you feels unhealthy, unproductive, counterproductive, or negative thinking, here are four defining questions you can ask yourself. The first is this thought true? Is it an absolute fact? And then you can ask, is this thought helpful to me? Does it help me in any way to think in this way? The third question you can ask yourself is this thought part of an older story that my mind is merely replaying out of habit? And the fourth question is, does this thought lead me to take constructive action? Again, when you find yourself going down a spiral of negative, unhelpful thinking, and again, what's negative to one person may not be to another, and you would know best from your pattern or thought patterns. You would want to ask yourself these questions. Is this thought true? Is it an absolute fact? You want to ask, is this thought helpful to me? Then you want to ask yourself, is this thought part of an older story that my mind is merely replaying out of habit? And fourthly, does this thought lead me to take constructive action? Once you've asked these four questions, you want to now make more space for clarity, focus, and new possibilities. You could consider asking yourself or writing, if you enjoy journaling, about any one of these prompts. The first is, how can I move towards making the best of this situation? Meaning, in that negative thinking pattern that you're in, how can you make the best of that situation? The second is, who would I be without this negative thought? The third would be, could I possibly see the situation in a different light? And the fourth is, what could I in this moment be grateful for? You'll find that if you use any of these questions, they will help to create a shift. And the shift we're talking, it will no doubt create a shift where we begin to change focus from everything that's negative to looking at what actually is working for you, what actually is going well for you in your life. So at the same time, we don't want to deny that there may be something troubling or worrying. This exercise is more for when we find ourselves really entangled in a lot of negative thinking, and we're realizing that it is not serving us. So what is it that we can do? What is you and I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to really be aware of our thought patterns, to be aware of what we're thinking and what those thoughts lead to. We're going to go for a short break and try and work on coming back with a clearer line. Stay with us here as we go for a nasheed break.
اسمعيني يا أخي صرخة النفس الأبية، اسمعيني العز شدوا يطرب النفس الشجية، اسمعيني يا أخي صرخة النفس الأبية، اسمعيني العز شدوا يطرب النفس الشجية، اسمعيني يا أخي صرخة النفس الأبية، اسمعيني العز شدوا يطرب النفس الشجية،
اسمعيني من كلالا أرتضي عيش الدنية،
أسمعيني لست أرضى العيش عيش الهامجية،
أسمعيني من كلالا أرتضي عيش الدنية،
أسمعيني لست أرضى العيش عيش الهامجية،
العيش عيش الهامجية،
سابقي خيل الأماني واركبي أغلى مطية، صادق حبي لأني لم أخل لله نية، سابقي خيل الأماني واركبي أغلى مطية، صادق حبي لأني لم أخل لله نية،
زادك الإيمان تمضينا بقصد وروية،
لا تبالي بالدعاوى والأباطيل الدعية،
زادك الإيمان تمضينا بقصد وروية،
لا تبالي بالدعاوى والأباطيل الدعية،
والأباطيل الدعية،
ليس حبنا أن تكوني حيثما كانوا بغية، ليس حبنا أن تكوني مثلما كانوا غبية، ليس حبنا أن تكوني حيثما كانوا بغية، ليس حبنا أن تكوني مثلما كانوا غبية،
أنت أعلى أنت أغلى أنت أنقى يا أخي،
شرف الحب حماه الشرع أن يرمى بنية،
أنت أعلى أنت أغلى أنت أنقى يا أخي،
شرف الحب حماه الشرع أن يرمى بنية.
Okay, that's it, inshallah. We're continuing as
all about negative thinking patterns, and that's what we were speaking about before the Nasheed break. So I just want to touch on that again, inshallah, so we have a clear idea. Now, very often we all experience negative thinking, and does that mean that each and every single thought should be analyzed or scrutinized? Well, there are many thoughts that we would want to just simply let go of, because thoughts are not necessarily facts. However, when we find ourselves in a place where there's a lot of negative thinking or thinking that's unhelpful, that doesn't allow us to grow or to create change or to take responsibility, then there are four questions we could possibly reflect on or write about. And they would be, how can I move towards making the best of the situation? So sometimes we find ourselves in a negative situation and we just end up in that spiral or in that web. So it's about moving out of that situation and saying, well, since I'm in that situation, how can I move forward with it? The second question is, who would I be without this negative thought? Who would I be without this negative thought? Now, sometimes we're so... we become so caught up in a certain thought that we think that thought defines us completely. So if we can just extract ourselves and see ourselves not as that negative thought, or not seeing ourselves as our identity being that negative thought, who am I when that negative thought isn't with me? And that can be very, very helpful. It can lead us to say, who can I be? Right? Sometimes that negative thought can be so overarching and overwhelming that we feel as though it becomes such a great part of our personality and of who we are. So seeing ourselves aside from that thought does not define us completely. The third question we could ask is, could I possibly see the situation in a different light? Could I possibly see this situation in a different light? If I've been looking at a certain situation or a certain thought and analyzing it in only one light or one avenue, could I look at it differently? And the fourth is, what could I, in this moment, be grateful for? What could I, in this moment, be grateful for? So if in that moment I can just practice being present in this moment and not be completely immersed into that negative thought, what can I find around me or within me to be grateful for? And when we use any of these questions, they can help us to create a shift where we can begin to change focus from all that is negative to what's actually working out for us and going well in life. And this can then help us to respond in a calmer way with a lens of perspective and possibility. So I hope that today's inspiration helps you as you seek to work through anything where you find that negative, unhelpful thinking is holding you back. So just be aware of your thought patterns. Sometimes we get so caught up in our thought patterns that we're unable to explore what else is possible. What else can I do differently? How can I create more meaningful change in my life? You're listening to Revival in Motion this Thursday afternoon, and we've been talking about a negative, unhelpful thinking and how to work around it. And so what we want to be able to do ideally is to reach ourselves to such a space where we are more aware of our thoughts, inshallah. Now, as we discuss more inspiration and reflections in the segment, and we did begin by saying that Ramadan is less than 100 days away, we want to be acutely aware of this and to look at what it is that we're doing on a regular basis to prepare our hearts for the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are looking towards Ramadan as a way to get closer to Allah, and that we use these months leading up to Ramadan to prepare for that, inshallah. I want to bring in a beautiful quotation that I read earlier this week by the writer Rubina A.K., and I shared this on social media, and it's such a beautiful truth to it. She writes, there is a profound enlightenment within chaos and suffering. When you come to realize it's a test from your maker, when you mentally, emotionally, and physically prepare to face it, meaning face your test, with hope, certainty, gratitude, and contentment in Allah's wisdom, there is a moment of calm, there's a moment of tranquility, there's a moment where your focus shifts from tests to the giver of tests. When you reach there, you have arrived at your destination for this moment. We are all travelers traveling through different means to the same destination, though we like to admit it or not. Billions of us, without exception. I'll share that again and just reflect on it. And notice if you've experienced this before and what it brings up for you. There is a profound enlightenment within chaos and suffering. When you come to realize it's a test from your maker, when you mentally, emotionally, and physically prepare to face it with hope, certainty, gratitude, and contentment in his wisdom, there is a moment of calm. There's a moment of tranquility. There's a moment when your focus shifts from tests to the giver of tests. When you reach there, you have arrived at your destination for this moment. We are all travelers, traveling through different means, the same destination, though we like to admit it or not. Billions of us, without exception. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may He make us of those who are able to see and notice that as much as we are going through a challenge, as much as we are going through a hardship in our lives, yes, that there are others going through hardships and challenges in their lives as well. And so we make a dua, dear Allah, comfort those who are hurting, comfort those who are sick, comfort those who are worried, comfort those who are in fear, comfort those who are struggling in their marriage, comfort those who are having family issues, financial problems, those who are having suicidal thoughts going in their mind, those who have lost their loved ones, help them, O Allah, and heal them, Ya Rab. Ameen. Welcome to the program. If you've just joined us, it's been our inspirational segment where together we've been looking at what it is that you and I can do when we find ourselves experiencing plenty of unhelpful or negative thinking. How can we gain some benefit from it? We all somehow feel that negative thinking is a waste of time, but if we allow ourselves some insight into it, what does that negative teach us? So within everything, there is a lesson. And what is a lesson that negative thinking is teaching us? Now, as we've been focusing on in the last week at least, with our countdown to less than 100 days to Ramadan, we want to remind ourselves and check in on our lifestyle. We want to check in to see, where am I wasting time? Where am I allowing time to pass by and not realizing how important it is for me to prepare my heart for the month of Ramadan? So here's a list of 12 common ways in which all of us waste our time at some point or the other. One of the things that we all tend to do is we tend to wait for inspiration. We do everything by ourselves. So we don't depute, we don't allow others to help us through something. Another thing that we find is we worry about what people will say. So if you're preparing for Ramadan, you're worried that others may say, well, isn't it too early to be increasing your Qur'an recitation? Isn't it too early to be starting to fast your qadha? So these are the type of questions that we hear people say. So when we're worrying about other people will say, we in effect are wasting our time and our lives. Another thing that we waste our time with is complaining. We complain about things that we have no control over. Does that complaining help us, or does it waste our time? Now, one of the other ways that all of us at some point or the other waste our time is in repeating the same mistakes. And so we ask Allah to make us aware of when we've committed a mistake, to seek forgiveness, and to make mental note of what it is we would do differently and the changes that we would create. And two more time wasters. One is the lack of priority. So we all say, well, there just isn't enough time. If I had more time, I would do, fill in the blanks. But what about priorities, and what are we prioritizing? Whatever we prioritize, whatever we plan for, we'll follow through. So when we prioritize Ramadan spiritual preparation, the heart preparation ahead of Ramadan, for example, then this becomes part and parcel of our day, no matter how busy it is. And the last, but of course one of the biggest obstacles that waste away our time, is perfectionism. We wait for that elusive perfect moment. And so we don't create the change we know we want or need because it's not perfect yet, right? I can't start praying the hijab or wearing hijab or volunteering because I'm not a good enough Muslim. I still have a lot to learn. I still have more to ask forgiveness from. And as a result, we wait for this illusion of becoming a perfect Muslim before trying to create those meaningful changes within ourselves. So let's work on doing that. Let's work on creating meaningful changes within ourselves, inshallah. And at the same time, pursuing other good deeds and actions. Time waits for no man. So start today. There's never going to be a moment where you feel, today, my iman, my belief is perfect. So you want to constantly be working at improving yourself and at the same time taking steps to improve your knowledge and your understanding and to get closer to Allah by the means that you have available. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Ameen. We go for our first ad break of the hour, and when we return, we continue with our discussion for today, and that takes us to Ayat al-Kursi. More after this break. Stay with us. Our topic today takes us to something that most of us read regularly or read daily. And it's a topic that we often look at, but very often it's something that just is by the way. We read it daily, it becomes a part of our routine. And what we want to be able to do is to understand the value and the importance of why we read this and how it can really truly transform our lives once we understand the importance of the valuable verse of the Qur'an. We're talking today about Ayat al-Kursi, its benefits and its importance. And no doubt that once we understand why and how it's so important in our lives, then we can start reciting with greater awareness and the greater respect and reverence to the Qur'an al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of this treasure of the Qur'an, that is, Ayat al-Kursi. Ameen. So let's begin without further ado on today's program as we explore and seek to understand what the Qur'an al-Kareem tells us about the Ayat al-Kursi and why is it such a miracle. And our hope is that as you then read it now after the next Fajr Salah, before going to sleep, when closing up your home or business, that you will reflect on the great treasure and blessing that Allah has given us, and that you will make such that the next generation is the one which reads the Ayat al-Kursi too on a daily basis. Now the 256th verse 255 of Surah Al-Baqarah is known as Ayat al-Kursi. It is one of those verses that are memorized by almost all Muslims around the world because of its virtue. And it is such that children at a young age learn and memorize the Ayat al-Kursi. The Ayat al-Kursi is profound in its meaning, and it has tremendous benefits. And that's what we're looking at in today's program. But once something becomes second nature or becomes routine, we tend to either do one of two things. We either begin to neglect it, or we continue with it as part of our routine, but it's something we just do in a very rote, mechanical form. And so what we want to do is relive the importance and review it and remind ourselves of how great a treasure the Ayat al-Kursi is in our lives. May Allah make us steadfast in reciting it daily. Ameen. The first thing we want to remind ourselves about Ayat al-Kursi and why it is a great treasure is because it is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an. Now, this is based on a hadith in At-Tirmidhi, wherein it says, everything has its splendor, and the splendor of the Qur'an is Surah Al-Baqarah. In it is a verse which is the greatest verse of the Qur'an, Ayat al-Kursi. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, it is stated that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa, to recite the Ayat al-Kursi after every salah. And think about it. As soon as you complete your first salah, it wouldn't even take 2 minutes to recite Ayat al-Kursi. Recite this even while holding your musallah, your prayer mat, or before or after you recite your afkar, and make it a habit and follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the greatest verse. So the Quran has two aspects, right? Its message and its miracle. And the same is true for Ayat al-Kursi. Its message and its miracle, both are beautiful. And we'll come to that shortly. Another of the great benefits of the Ayat al-Kursi is that it is a protection against shaytan. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered me to guard the zakat revenue of Ramadan. Then, so this is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrating, then somebody came to me and started stealing of the food stuff. I called him and said, I will take you to Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu described the whole narration and said, that person said to me, please don't take me to Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will tell you a few words by which Allah will benefit you. When you go to your bed, recite Ayat al-Kursi, for then there will be a guard from Allah who will protect you all night long, and shaytan will not be able to come near you till dawn. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the story, he said to me, meaning he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he who came to you at night told you the truth, although he is a liar, and it was shaytan. So this hadith is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who see the benefit and the protection and the safety of Allah that the believer is granted with the recitation of Ayat al-Kursi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Now, we said that the Ayat al-Kursi has both a message and a miracle. Let us continue to understand more about the message of Ayat al-Kursi. If we look at a basic translation of the Ayat al-Kursi, Allah, there is no deity except Him, the ever-living, the sustainer of all existence. Neither drowsiness overtakes Him nor sleep. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Who is it that can intercede with Allah except by His permission? He knows what is present and before them and what will be after them. And they encompass not a thing of His knowledge, except for what Allah wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and their preservation tires Him not. And He is the Most High, the Most Great. Surah 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah verse number 255. Now, one of the miracles of Ayat al-Kursi is that it is concentric. Allow me to explain. The ayah, meaning ayatul kursi, the verse, is made up of nine sentences, if we call it that in English, nine parts. And each part, each sentence, is paired with the one concentrically opposite to it, with the fifth sentence being at the center of the circle. So when you look at Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum, and then you look at the last bit, right? Wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. Both of them are linked in that they teach us more about the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both contain the beautiful divine names of Allah, right? And then the words wa la ya'udu hifdhuhuma, right? And their preservation ties in not. But also at the beginning, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, neither drowsiness overtakes him nor sleep. So you look at how each of these ayat are linked up to one another. SubhanAllah. It is so beautiful, the link between these ayat. If you do search, you would be able to find the miracle of Ayatul Kursi, meaning the concentric, the way that the ayat are linked to each other. SubhanAllah. And what does the Ayatul Kursi teach us? The Ayatul Kursi teaches us a number of lessons. It teaches us and reminds us of who our Maker, who our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is. It reminds us of His greatness, His power, His uniqueness, His mercy. It reminds us of the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such that in reading Ayatul Kursi, it brings tremendous strength and courage to our hearts. You may be going through something and wondering, who is it that you can talk to? Who is it that you can discuss your problem or your worry with? But if you are to look at the Ayatul Kursi, what do you realize? You realize how the Ayatul Kursi teaches us about the magnification and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Ayatul Kursi teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever and will be forever. It teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what happens. Right? The greatest verse of the Quran. And many of us have probably felt the power of this ayah when we recite it, either before going to sleep, either when seeking protection or help. You find yourself reciting the Ayatul Kursi in your moment of fear or your moment of anguish or worry. Reciting the Ayatul Kursi. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every obligatory fard salah, nothing except death prevents him from entering heaven. And the hadith is mentioned in An-Nasa'i. So in seeking our Jannah, then Ayatul Kursi be a part of it. It was also narrated from Hazrat Abu Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Abu Wonder, do you know which ayah of Allah's book is the greatest? I replied, Allah and His Messenger know best. He repeated his question and I said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. And thereupon, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck me on the chest and said, may knowledge become easy for you, Abu Wonder. And this is also mentioned in Sahih Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, the realization of the importance of the Ayatul Kursi, and of realizing the important role it plays in us drawing closer to Allah, and in us seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one else. We're going to go for our last ad break of the hour, and when we return, I look forward to sharing with you more treasures about what Ayatul Kursi teaches us as believers. Stay with us. We've been discussing more about Ayatul Kursi and understanding the beauty and the treasure within it, both its miracle and its message. Ayatul Kursi teaches us and reminds us every single time that we recite it that there is no other deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that within the Ayatul Kursi, there are at least five beautiful divine attributes, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Namely, it's beginning with Allah. Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, Al-Ali, Al-Azim. And two of these names, Al-Hayy, the one who is ever living, gives life to others, has perfect attributes, and Al-Qayyum, the one who is established perfectly without any support, who is independent, and who establishes others. These are some of the greatest names of Allah. They are called the greatest name, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And if we supplicate to Allah with these names, inshallah, He will answer our supplication, our dua. So when you make dua, make it a habit to frequently call in Allah, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. And then it reminds us that neither drowsiness overtakes Allah nor sleep. And this is the perfection of our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from any weakness or imperfection. And it reminds us that everything in the heavens and the earth is created by Allah. We, human beings, have not even discovered all the creations of Allah, despite all the technology that we have. We also are reminded within Ayat al-Kursi that we do not know anything about Allah except for what He has told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Ayat al-Kursi is a perfect way to strengthen our iman on a daily basis, on a regular basis, reminding us of the one and only God who truly deserves to be worshipped, reminding us that there is no place for any other deities, but that we should truly submit to one Allah, to worship Him as He deserves to be worshipped, to entrust all our affairs in Allah's care, because He is the best of the Almighty, and He is the only one to take care of our concerns. So the next time you recite Ayat al-Kursi, I invite you to ponder, to reflect upon its meaning, and inshallah, you will feel yourself surrendering to the grandeur, the perfection, and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the du'as that we learned from the Sunnah is, يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. O living, O sustaining, in your mercy I seek relief. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. O living, O sustaining, in your mercy I seek relief. A beautiful dua included in your tahajjud salah, in your sujood. Make this dua often, whether you are on the musalla, whether it is part of your dhikr program. Short, easy to remember. Ya hayyu, ya qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. O living, O sustaining, in your mercy, I seek relief. Now, early in the week, I received an email from one of our regular listeners, a sister who has been following the program for a while, and she's been going through some disillusionment in terms of the challenges of motherhood. And she asked me to share some words. So it's something I shared on social media. The sister is not on social media, so I did promise to share it live on today's program for her. And it really is about what motherhood is. And it's such a beautiful piece written by Sister Nada Omnur. And it's as follows. There is not a job out there that is as harshly judged by unrealistic standards than motherhood. Every mother is different. Her experiences, her background, her strengths and weaknesses make her as unique as a mother as she is as a person. And thus, what she imparts in her children is unique. There is no mother out there that is able to give her children all the strength they may need, as she herself can only possess so many skills and strengths. So one mother may excel in cleanliness and house chores, and thus is able to impart that in her children, while another excels in academics and hard work and is able to teach her children to aspire the same. Another mother may excel in religious knowledge and will struggle for her children to acquire the same knowledge. Some may teach their children impeccable manners, but may not be able to teach them about organization and extreme cleanliness. Some may teach them how to do their chores really well, but perhaps lack in teaching them the knowledge of the world. The point I'm making is that this pressure that somehow mothers must be able to teach their children every single skill they need to succeed in this life and the akhirah comes from unrealistic and unfair expectations. As long as a mother is sincere to her children and struggles with the best of her very own unique capabilities to teach and impart skills and knowledge they need to succeed in this life and the next, she is the best mother the children could ever have. So I wish to stop these judgments and let mothers do a job that carries the importance and reverence right after that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. Ameen. So ask yourself, am I judging myself too much? Am I my harshest, worst inner critic? And at the same time to remember that there is no perfect mother, but we can keep trying to be better in how we mother and ensuring that we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the foremost of that motherhood experience. So for the sister who emailed and asked me to share something on this topic, I hope this is something that resonates with you. I hope inshallah it makes your journey as a mom easy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ease and barakah as a mother. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Our takeaway for this week's session is to look back and realize how often am I reciting Ayat al-Kursi, either in my salah, reading it to my children as they go to sleep, or reading it myself as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to recite it after every first salah. Am I simply merely just reciting the Ayat al-Kursi out of habit? Am I reflecting on its message and its miracle? Is my recitation of the Ayat al-Kursi reminding me of what it means? And is it reminding me about my Creator? Ultimately, this is a message from Ayat al-Kursi. So I invite you to take out time to reflect on the beauty and the meaning of Ayat al-Kursi. And to make some time to brush up on your understanding of the Ayat al-Kursi, either through attending a class, requesting your Quran or tafsir teacher to go through the meaning with you, or listening in to one of the many lectures from authentic scholars available on this topic. Reacquaint yourself with Ayat al-Kursi. What does it mean? Why is it so important? And realizing that it is your protection for in this world and inshallah in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with love for the Ayat al-Kursi. Join us more as we continue exploring the messages and miracles of Ayat al-Kursi next Thursday at the same time. This program will be up on podcast later on today. And until we meet again, keep up in your dua and jazakumullah khairan for listening in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.